I'm going to have to talk fast because there's so much. I'm like, what do I skip over? What do I say? I've been enjoying this series. If you've enjoyed the series on creation, say amen.
Amen.
If you missed it, there's some up on YouTube on our channel, First Baptist Church of Kingstown. Please take a minute and get acquainted. Like us on there. Anyhow, I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Now, listen. I'm going to make no apology about what I'm about to say. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible's true. I believe it cover to cover. Why? I even believe what's written on the cover. It says Holy Bible. And I believe it's true. That's exactly what it is. Now, the Bible says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That's talking about the pieces I like and the pieces I don't. The pieces I understand and the pieces I don't understand. Mark Twain said, it's not the things I don't understand in the Bible that bother me. It's the things I do understand that bother me most about the Bible. Now, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:17 that all Scripture was given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. Yes, 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 we understand all that, Pastor Miggs. But the purpose of it was so that I would have all I need to serve Him and to know Him. The Bible's not all there is to know about the world we live in, but it's everything I need to know about having an intimate personal relationship with the God who created me, the God who created everything. Now, it has been proven to be scientifically accurate. It is not a science book, but wherever the Bible speaks of the scientific things like biology, zoology, anthropology, meteorology, botany, astronomy, everything, it speaks accurately. It's an interesting book written. It's 66 books written over a period of 1,500 years by 40 different authors. None of them had a printing press. Are you following? Are you tracking? All right. But yet there are no contradictions, errors, or mistakes in the Bible. There's been people saying, I'll give you $250,000 if you find a mistake. Nobody can. Nobody's ever collected on these things. But the whole purpose was so that the man of God would be perfect, or the woman of God, meaning mature, fully earnest. I've got what I need to have a relationship with God. Now, he said, this is Peter writing about 66 AD, 60 AD, somewhere around there. He wrote, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Put God first. And be ready always to give an answer to them that asketh, for every man that asketh you, of the reason of the hope that is in you. Do you know what it is you actually believe about God? What is it you believe? Do you know why you believe it? And can you explain it to somebody else? Look, if you can't put it in one sentence, you don't understand it. Many of you out here in the crowd today are subject matter experts at your job. And if you were to take just 2 seconds and put it in one, you could probably put your whole job in one sentence. If you don't know how to do that, then you don't understand the job you do. Being so comfortable with the truth that you're able to explain it simply, even to a simple person like me. Now, the Bible goes on to say that knowing that this almost 2,000 years ago, he wrote this. And he said that there would come scoffers in the last days, in the days before Christ would come. These are people who would look at revealed truth and go, I don't believe it. Why do they do that? Because they're walking after their own lusts. It benefits them emotionally, physically, financially to do that. Now, you don't want to think that, but it's true. And saying, this is the next thing. Now, this is Peter prophesying, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. This is the basis of uniformitarianism. That's the basis of evolution, that what you see going on right now is exactly how it is. That's why they keep making the earth older and older and older, because what they're seeing happen, they have to hide it in billions and billions of years. But isn't it interesting that some 1,070 years ago, or 1,970 years ago, Peter would say, this is what the people are going to say in the time leading up to the return of Christ. They'll be spouting uniformitarianism. For this they are willingly ignorant of. Now, I've talked about this. They willingly ignore several things. First, it's the creation. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. If God created everything, well, then he owns it. And since he made it with rules, that means he's got rules. And we've broken those rules. Of all the creation, the wind, the sea, the planets and the stars, everything obeys him except us. Isn't that interesting? Verse number 6 says, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. The second thing they willingly ignore is the worldwide cataclysmic flood, which we're going to look at today, 2 Peter 3:6. They willingly ignore the creation and the flood. And they also willingly ignore the judgment that is to come. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14 that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess and every one of us shall give an account of ourselves unto God. This world is reserved unto the fire of judgment in the coming day of the Lord. Do you understand? Somebody created a meme and was floating around with the picture of the ark and the rainbow saying, welcome to Flood Awareness Month. I thought that was funny, right? Taking back the rainbow. Well, the scoffers ignore the creation. The scoffers ignore the worldwide cataclysmic flood, and they ignore the coming judgment. Now, in National Geographic, that's where I started looking at porn when I was 8. You moms don't understand boys because you have zero experience being a boy. Now, I know the Sears and Roebuck catalog no longer comes to your house. But that's how men my age started off as children, looking at porn. You need to pay attention to what your kids are looking at. You need to pay attention to what your kids are seeing on the internet. They have complete access. More so than I ever had. But anyway, in National Geographic, he said, no human being has ever seen a dinosaur. Now, how can you say that? Have you talked to every human being that's ever lived? Did they talk to you? Did National Geographic talk to you? Well, no. Well, you can't know that. These are statements they're making sounding scientific, but truth is, you don't know that. Because listen, evolution and creation are not science versus religion. They are both religions. The only difference is evolution is federally funded. None of us were there at the beginning. I didn't see creation. I didn't see evolution in the Big Bang. Science does not exist in the past. Science exists in the present. Because the definition of science is that which can be observed. So the Bible is not empirical science. Let's just be honest with each other for a second. So what do? We look at the universe around us and say, which theory, because remember, there's one theory that the world was actually created and rode upon the back of a turtle. Do you remember that theory? Right? Listen. You have to look around you and say, a visible, observable universe around me, which theory fits the best? That's what you have to ask if you're going to be honest. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible does not tell us where God came from. And I think God did that on purpose for several reasons. But one of them is you cannot put a Cummins diesel engine in a Chevette. Right? Somebody help me now. Is there men in the house who understand trucks? You cannot take that monster bad boy diesel motor you got in your big Ram truck and stick it in a Honda Fit. You cannot put the eternal God in a 3-pound brain and expect to understand him. He's bigger than our universe. I don't even understand the universe, let alone the one who made it. And he's outside of it and more complex. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible makes no apology and it gives us no data on what happened before this moment. But at this moment, all three things in the universe, everything can be a function of time, space, and matter. All three came into existence at the exact moment. In the beginning, that's time. God created the heaven, that's space, and the earth, that's matter. All three came into existence at the very same time. Because if you had matter but no space, where would you put it? If you had space but no time, when would you put it? And it's a creation of a trinity because our God is a trinity. Are you tracking with me? Okay, I'm trying to talk fast. Now it says on day 6, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, the cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything. Are you seeing a pattern here? Animals can only reproduce after their own kind. Did you know Tyson's Food cannot take a chicken and cross it with a centipede and get a chicken with 1,000 legs. Wouldn't you? Right? Or you know, Tyson's can't cross a chicken and an ostrich and get a chicken with really big legs. They're not the same kind of animals. But I'll tell you, at the Creation Museum in Kentucky, they took a horse and a zebra and crossbred them, and now they got a red horse with black stripes because they're the same kind of animal. You can't cross a horse and a snake. You can't cross a snake and a bird. They're not the same. Now, the Bible says throughout it that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea. Now, look at that next word. That's a definite article in the Hebrew. All. Everything. Everything was created by God. So if it was created on day six at the same time Adam and Eve were created, then Adam saw dinosaurs. And God said, let there be a firmament. Do you remember from last week? We talked about how that before the flood, there was another layer to our atmosphere, a crystalline or a layer of ice, and the world was like a terrarium. That's why everything grew so big. Everything was so different. There was a canopy of water overhead and a lot of water underneath the earth. You must understand, the Bible says that God created the earth to be inhabited. From pole to pole, it was lush and it was green like a terrarium. You realize 70% of the earth's surface is covered in water right now. The rest of it's deserts and whatever. Only 3% of the world is habitable. So much of the water you see on the planet today was actually in the earth's crust and part of the overhead canopy. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were the fountains of the deep, of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. That's where the water came from. Now, there were still rivers and seas and stuff back then, yes. But the bulk of the water you see today was subterranean. So we believe 6,000 years ago, God created the heavens and the earth. 4,400 years ago, God killed it all with a flood because God's the creator. God's the owner. And with the flood, God proved he can wreck it if he wants to. God made you. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you. And your life is his, and if you won't pay attention, he'll let it wreck to get your attention. He really will. He'll let it jump the rails, all right? So what was it like, I mean, between the time of creation and the flood? Back then, everybody lived 900 years. All of the great civilizations of the world, the Sumerians and others, called it the Golden Age. Look this up in the history books. They called it the Golden Age when people lived to almost 1,000 years old. Everything lived almost 1,000 years ago. National Geographic printed an article that says that all reptiles grow throughout the entire lifespan. So how big would that iguana be if it was 300 years old? Or 600 years old? Here's a 24-foot gator killed in the Congo. How big would that boy be if he was 300 or 800? Here's a 35-foot boa constrictor that killed a worker on an oil rig and ate him. 35 feet long. How old's that animal? How long would he be if he was 300? Sharks grow the entire length of their lifespan. Why is it we find things like that? The upper right is the Titan boa. They found a fossilized one that was 46 feet long. On the bottom right is a man laying next to a fossilized alligator. How long? How big would they be if they were 600 years old? So dinosaurs were big animals that lived with Adam and Eve. So preacher, were there dinosaurs on the ark? Yes, I believe there were dinosaurs on the ark. The only thing is you got to make sure the woodpecker kept in its cage. Yeah, life would be tough, wouldn't it? But in the 600th year of Noah's life, is when it rained. So he spent 100 years building that ark. Now, hear me out. You and I typically work our careers and retire after about 35, 40 years, right? Some a little longer, some a little less. And when you retire, you're basically the subject matter expert in your career field, if you're successful. And over those 40 years, you got really good at your job. How good would you get at your job if you spent 300-400 years doing it? My father-in-law is a master craftsman in furniture, and by the time he'd been doing it 25-30 years, he was creating his own tools. upgrading what he had. Not just, you know, he had hand tools and he was upgrading them and making jigs and things to make it faster and better. If you could spend 600 years in your career, even by the school of hard knocks, you'd be a genius. Yes, there were dinosaurs on the ark. Well, Pastor, don't you know that the dinosaurs are massive? Well, the old dinosaurs are, but babies are small. Just get a blue and a pink one. The largest dinosaur egg we have ever found was the size of a football. That means a Brontosaurus, the one at the Smithsonian Institute right now, that you walk into the doorway and you walk under this massive skeleton. That animal started the size of a football. Isn't that interesting? So don't take full-size animals. The whole idea was to get them to have babies when they got off the ark. So you want smaller ones. You know why? They weigh less. They eat less. And consequently, they poop less. Now, if you're stuck in a boat with thousands of animals for an entire year, you become very sensitive to the amount of poop that gets produced. No? No? Huh? What is it when you went to, when you, with your first pregnancy, you went to go see the doctor and you're like, oh, you just want a healthy, happy baby. What if they just said, you got quadruplets? What's the first thing cross your mind? That's a lot of diapers, yo. That is a lot of diapers. Right? Did you know that baby animals sleep more? Did you know they're tougher? You see our kids run around here, they bounce off the wall, they immediately get back up. One of us older folks bounces off the wall, we lay there a while. Isn't that true? Right? And the whole idea was, after the flood, you wanted them to live longer and have babies. That's the whole purpose of your function in this boat. So yeah, there was dinosaurs on the ark. Because the babies, well, Pastor, everybody says this to me, Pastor, what about the carnivores? Okay. They drank milk as babies. Anybody have a problem with that? What do you do for a solid year with all those cows and sheep and goats that you had to take by sevens, not just pairs? You had to milk them twice a day. What'd you do with the milk? Pitch it out the window? No, you fed the bears and the lions. They're just big cats. Did you ever think of that? Right? I mean, come on, help me now. I bottle fed a little sheep that was abandoned by its mother. It died during birth. And first it abandoned, and then it got ate. But anyway, we bottle fed Junior the sheep until he could eat grass. See, all of a sudden, you got to remember, Noah had 100 years to figure this out. With no entertainment, no internet to distract him, to just think about it. How am I going to do this? Well, you take babies. I may be stupid. Which one do you want to clean up after? Which one do you want to try to lead around? The big one or the small one? I mean, come on, you got to think about it. Now, the Bible says, and every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark. Some of them will come by sevens. You'll see that in another verse. To keep them alive with thee, they shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing on the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Isn't that interesting? But does it dawn on you that Noah didn't have any fish on the ark? 8,000 different kinds of animals. Some of them are fish. Do you know why Noah didn't have any fish on the ark? There was plenty of water outside. Didn't think of that, did you? And it says, Noah went to the ark, two of every, wherein is the breath of life. Genesis 7:22. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was on dry land. So these are land animals. And there are no bugs. He didn't have to carry the bugs. I imagine there were some bugs. Because you know, where there's animals, there's bugs. But they don't breathe through their nostrils. They breathe through their skin, through spiracles. Have you ever been a place where there's been a flood? The first thing you do is walk out your house into the mud. What do you see? Bugs. Because they can survive. Ants can create it like a floating island with their bodies. They survive. Roaches will be here after the next nuclear war. They'll still be here. But did it ever dawn on you that Noah never saw a chihuahua? Never. Why would you make a dog that's 100% useless? God, listen, come on now, think about it. 400 types of dogs in the world. I'll bet you they all had a common ancestor. The wolf, the coyote, and the dog probably had a common ancestor. They're all canine. Noah never saw a doodle. I have a basset hound. They're the oldest breed in America, but they were created in France. We've seen so many different breeds come out. He probably had a dog like this. This is called a canardly. You can hardly understand what it is. It's a canardly. You'll get it at lunch, okay? But the truth is, this is a Spanish textbook from Mexico. They got it right. The donkey, the zebra, the horse, they had a common ancestor. And I'll bet you a dollar it was a horse, you know, four-wheel drive, all leather interior. You know what I'm saying? It was a horse. But skeptics say, well, how did Noah put millions of animals on the ark? Well, he didn't have fish, and he didn't have bugs, and he brought babies, and he only had two of every kind, not of every variety. And God made the kinds, and God told him how big the ark to build. He knew how big to make it. God gave him some very specific. It had to be so long, so wide, so tall, and it had to have so many floors. Do you understand? Noah's been at this 500 years working before he was given this task. And then he had 100 years. I could just go on forever. There's hours and hours of this. But Adam was fully mature. The atheists say, how did he name all those animals? Well, Adam was created by God as a special creation, fully adult. You realize Adam spoke every language on the planet the day he was created? He was also married to the prettiest girl on the planet. Right? So he was created, he got married, and he named all the animals. Well, there's only about 8,000. No way. There's no way. Well, think about it. When I get real excited, I speak about 300 words a minute. 300 words a minute, buddy, 26 minutes is all you need. If you're a little slower like me, it's 2.5 hours. But I think somewhere around minute 20, Adam got really bored and went, fly. That's another joke you'll get at lunch. Right? I think he did all the complicated names at first. Then after a while, it just got really simple. So evolution also has a theory in how things came together. 20 billion years ago, nothing exploded into everything. It was a big squish and a big spin, and there was an explosion, and nothing exploded into everything. And then it cooled down, and then somehow millions of years of torrential rain leached all of these chemicals into a soup. And then somehow a macromolecule was formed, and it found somebody to marry and have children with, and complex. Huh. Think about it. See, it's not a science versus religion argument. It's two religions that have to be taken on faith. See, the evolutionists believe some 20 billion years ago there was a big burp after a big squish and a big spin. Because the minute I'm like, well, where did all the stuff come from in the universe? We don't know. Where did the engine, where'd the energy come to drive that engine? We don't know. And how did it get here? We don't know. But the minute I say, they say to me, where did God come from? And I go, I don't know. Mine is a religion and theirs is a federally funded science. Do you see the hypocrisy? Okay. Do you think you descend from soup? Well, really, if you take it back, you descend from a rock. That's what they teach. How many learn this in public school? Well, let's be honest. Even the introduction to my calculus book said the first words were billions and billions of years ago. Here's the atheist life verse. Say to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone thou hast brought me forth. Here's my dad's life verse. Have mercy on me, my son. He is a lunatic. The earth was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Now, I'm sure that when Shem, Ham, and Japheth got off the ark, they immediately had children. Okay, they had kids. Well, there was nothing else to do. So they had kids. They named him Arphaxad. How do you think he did in kindergarten? Arphaxad. But imagine Arphaxad sitting on Grandpa Noah's leg, or knee, just kind of sitting there and going, Grandpa, why are we the only people on the planet? Well, son, the world was corrupted. God destroyed it, and only you and our family, or only me and my sons and their wives, and all these animals. Do you realize people are still telling that story today? Think about it. Shem walked off the ark with his wife. He lived. Now, you won't see this if you just read it. You got to graph it out. He lived so long he had a baby. He lived so long he had a baby. He lived so long. And you graph it out. Shem lived long enough to tell Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob what it was like pre-flood. Jacob was 56 years old when Shem died. That's why when Jacob stood before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's like, dude, how old are you? And he's like, 120 or 140 years, but that's nothing. Why? Because down the street is my great-great-grandpa, Eber, who's 430. You just don't feel old when the guy down the street's 430. Right? But they've been telling that story forever. There are over 270 known civilizations on the planet that have the flood as part of their history. Remember, there's three things they willingly ignore. They ignore the creation, they ignore the flood, they ignore the coming judgment. But here, in the Hawaiian culture, it says, long after the death of Kunihana, the first man, the world became wicked, terrible place to live. There's only one good man left. His name was Nu'u. Nu'u made a great canoe with a house on it and filled it with animals. The water came up over the earth and killed all the people, and only Nu'u and his family were saved. Interesting. The High King, Chinese classic literature, Fu Hai, he's the father of their civilization. After the history records that Fu Hai, his wife, three sons, and three daughters escaped a great flood, he and his family were the only people alive on the earth. After the great flood, they repopulated the world. The Toltec Indians in Mexico said that the first earth lasted 1,716 years. They were only off by 60 years. Said that the first earth was overflowed with water. In Africa, you have the Kwaya, the Mobutu, the Maasai, the Mandan, and the, I don't think I'm saying it right, the Yoruba people. In North America, you have the Algonquin, the Choctaw, the Cree, the Hopi, the Inuit. In Mesoamerica, you have the Aztec, the Mayans, the Canary. In Asia, you have the Sumerians, the Akkadian, the Iranian, India, Japan, Korea, Thailand. All of these people have this in their history. And they're not just separated by time. They're separated by thousands of miles. How do they all have this in their history? Do you honestly think the Toltec Indians hung out with the people in Siberia? Do you honestly think the people in Siberia hung out with the folks in the Choctaw Native Americans? Do you honestly think they all hung out in a room and came up with this? No, that's because about 6,000 years ago, God created the heavens and the earth. And about 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. Atlantis is probably a flood legend. I know it says that the earth sunk, but really the ark raised. Still look the same. So where's the ark today? Well, on the eastern border of Turkey, about 12 miles from the Russian border, there's a place called Neogumshi. It means Noah's big boat. There's actually a sign out on the main road. It says 5 kilometers. You can go to Noah's big boat. And the Bible says the ark rested in the seventh month upon the mountains of Ararat. It didn't say on top of the mount. Have you ever noticed that when you look at mountains, it isn't just one continual climb to a peak. It's valleys till you get to the top. Did anybody else experience that? I almost had heat stroke trying to get to the top of Mount Franklin in El Paso. Not on the top of the mountain, but on the mountain range of Ararat. Now, there's four theories. It was taken apart and used for wood. It's a lot of lumber, and the world was decimated. Number two, it rotted. Number three, it's still on the mountain. Or number four, it's in the valley. Now, I personally am just going to tell you what I think. Now, it doesn't really matter because the Bible says, and whatever the Bible says is true in my opinion, but my opinion is it's in the valley. This is what I personally believe, that it's like 17 miles away from the actual mountain. In 1960, a spy plane flew over this area and saw this boat-shaped object in the dirt. In 1978, there was an earthquake, and I don't know if the ground raised or if the ground fell away, but now it's sticking out of the ground. That's what it looks like from a distance. Now, when boats rot, they don't fall over, they splay. So that's why it's wider, in my opinion, than the numbers God gave Noah in Genesis. But it is the exact length it's supposed to be. Isn't that interesting? And they did ground-penetrating radar, and they found decking. There's also petrified wood sticking out of the dirt. They also found iron rivets throughout the site because Jubal Cain was an artificer of brass and iron. That's Genesis chapter 5. Iron rivets. The Turkish government believes it's Noah's Ark. They actually built a welcome center on the site, and you can go there and visit it. They believe it's the Ark. But like I said, it's also the correct length, which is pretty cool. So it was smaller than the Titanic, that's for sure, but it was big. So what we know is up farther in the valley is a town called Kazan. Kazan means the village of eight. How many people got off the ark? Anybody need help with that? Eight. It's the oldest village known to Turkey. North of that village, they found Drode stones, large 8 and 9 foot stones with holes bored in the top of them as at an angle like this. Isn't that interesting? Why would you need Drode stones? Well, when you hang stones off of the side of a ship, it creates a sea anchor. And a sea anchor will always turn you perpendicular to the oncoming waves. It also is used for ballast. When the flood when the drought happened in the Sea of Galilee in the 90s, there was the water went down and there were all these rocks exposed that had holes bored through them because the Sea of Galilee has rough water, rough storms. They hang them off the side so that you don't capsize. And people say, well, you're so stupid. You creationists. Don't you know if you put stones off the side of the ark, it'll slow them down? Where was he going? Come on now. Think. Where was he going? He had one job. Build it. Get in it. Float. When it lands, get off. That's it. He was only in that boat a little, just right over a year. It's incredible. Well, the largest ship that we've ever built had 6 masts. And because of the wind, it would twist and leak. And the ark's just too big. He didn't have any sails on the ark. You know why? Where was he going? Come on, let's think for a second. You're tasked with this job. You've got 100 years to figure it out. All I need is a Connex box that stays upright. That's all I need. Right? There was a keel. Farther north from Kazan, they found a moraine. So you have the Drode stones, then you have the city, and outside that town is a moraine of stones surrounded by petrified wood. That's ballast. That was in the keel. Keep the ship upright. Isn't that interesting? Well, some would say 300 feet, you know, it'll go over the waves and it'll bend and break. Not if there's a moon pool. You know what a moon pool is? It's a place in the middle of the boat that you wall off so that when you extend out over the waves, the pressure is relieved as the water comes up in the middle. Do you know what else a moon pool gives you? A fresh breath of air every time a wind comes by or a wave comes by. So you're on an ark with 4,000 animals who poop. Do you think you'd pray for a wave every now and again for a fresh breath of air? Think about it. You might actually pray for a wave. So if the Bible's true, then what happened to the dinosaurs? Well, evolution will say there was this gigantic meteor that hit the Yucatan Peninsula and it created a nuclear winter. That's one theory. Here's a guy who got paid to do a government study, and he studied the bones, and he says, and I quote, "The dinosaurs killed themselves off with their own flatulence." Yes, boys and girls, the dinosaurs farted themselves to death. Okay, now let's get real for a second. Which billionaire got on the news 2 years ago and said, we need to cut down cattle production because of the greenhouse gases that the cows produce are causing climate change? Bill Gates. Yes, the cows are farting us into an ice age. This is all on YouTube. You can go check it out. They're asking the wrong question. Did the dinosaurs go extinct? No. I don't know that they did. Because when they got off the ark, they were in a hostile climate. Now there's no canopy. So now you got the X-rays and the UV rays. The atmospheric pressure has now been released. You have less oxygen in the air. A lot of them probably didn't survive the climate. See, the average age before the flood was like 900 years. And then with just a few hundred years, it's down to like 70 or 80. Isn't that crazy? It just keeps stepping down, right? So what happened to the dinosaurs? Well, when the dinosaurs got off the ark, there's two problems. There's a different climate, so the food source is not pole to pole. It's not readily available, all right? Number two, you had a second problem. You had people. How many of you want to live next to a ferocious animal that will eat your kids and your stuff? See, the word dinosaur wasn't invented till 1841. In the Bible and other places in literature, they were referred to as dragons. Here is a dictionary in 1891, and the word dinosaur is not in it yet. But your Bible was translated in 1611, and 34 times it mentions dragons. So are dragons in the Bible? We're about to look at that. Here's a dictionary from 1946 that says dragons, now rare. See, as the human population expanded and exploded after the flood, dangerous animals are either killed off or driven off. Like, let me give you an example. How many grizzly bears and black bears do you think roamed Fairfax, Virginia this week? How many of you think roamed Fairfax, Virginia 100 years ago? 200 years ago? 300 years ago? Huh? What if you heard today there were 5 black bears in Fairfax County? What do you think would happen? They'd probably all be dead by 6 a.m. because every redneck with a gun, me included, sit on my back porch with meat hanging off back going, here, bear, 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 bear. And we'd have our kill on social media. Do you understand? First, you eat them for meat. A dinosaur would feed an entire village. Number two, because they're a menace. They eat your sheep, they eat your cows, they eat your kids. Also, if you're the guy who killed the biggest dinosaur, you got bragging rights, right? Competition for land. There's even medicines that are called, when they make them, they're called for dragon blood. Gilgamesh was told to have slain a dragon. The Chinese legend of Yu, how he drained the marshland and drove off the dragons. Why is it that 11 of their 12 symbols on their calendar is real animals and only one is mythical? Because maybe they're the oldest, one of the oldest, or if not the oldest civilization. Maybe they weren't mythical back then. Alexander the Great said he ran into a dragon on the border of India in 326 BC. St. George slayed a dragon in 275 AD. Beowulf pulled the little arm, off of a dragon, and it bled to death. He ended up getting killed in a battle with a flying winged dragon at the age of 88 in 583 AD. In 900 AD, an Irish writer wrote of an animal with iron nails and its tail and its head smaller than a horse, and it had really thick, strong claws in 900 AD. Siegfried, slayed the dragon Fafnir in Norse mythology. Marco Polo came back from China in 1271 and reported, after 17 years of living in China, he reported to the European people that the emperor had dragons pulling his chariot. In 1611, the emperor had appointed a person to a post called the Royal Dragon Feeder. This is history. This isn't in the Bible. The city of Neuilly, France, and I'm going to say it wrong, Tarrasque, I think is how you say it, was renamed because of the dragon that was slain there with horns in its head and a big plate. Nobody's ever seen dragons. Well, then you tell me how ancient man carved their images in stone. Here's the oldest piece of pottery known to man. It's from the first dynasty of Egypt. It's two long-necked dinosaurs. Here's a Roman seal that's got two long-necked dinosaurs fighting over a sheep. Here is a 6,000-year-old signet where you rolled it in the clay like a seal, and it's got long-necked dinosaurs. Our guys and gals that went to Iraq and fought in Iraq, over there, I got one of the bricks that has Saddam Hussein's name on it. And he was rebuilding Babylon, and in the walls were lions and dragons. Here's a Roman mosaic on a floor that was excavated, two long-necked dragons. Here's one in Hungary. Here's one in Germany. Here's one in England. Here's a Russian medallion from years ago. And then it just keeps going on. How did people like the Norsemen know what a dragon head looked like to put on their ships? Here's a carving from the Vikings of a sea dragon eating somebody. Here's the Native Americans in the Grand Canyon carving an animal with a really long neck and a really long tail. Giraffe don't have long tails like that. Here's a long-necked dinosaur with a long tail. They took a rubbing with a piece of paper and a pencil, and that's what they got. Here's one from Australia. Here's one from Canada. Here's Glen Rose, Texas, just southwest of Fort Worth. They have dinosaur footprints with human footprints in the same limestone. That means that mud was wet when the dinosaur stepped in it and when the human stepped in it. Here's a dinosaur footprint with a human footprint inside it. That's at Dinosaur State Park in Glen Rose, Texas. You can go there today. Nobody ever saw dinosaurs. Really? Have you ever heard of Ica, Peru? In 1571, the Spanish came in and saw these carvings on all these stones of animals that they didn't know what they were. Well, how would you know to carve something you've never seen? And there's thousands and thousands and thousands of these stones in Ica, Peru. Here's one. It's got a triceratops. It's got a long neck. Here's one of a guy getting eaten by a dinosaur. Here's one of the Ica stones where they're cutting the head off a dinosaur. Here's one of the Ica stones where they're riding a dinosaur. Here's another one. Does that look familiar? How are you going to carve that? You've never seen it. And it just keeps going on and on throughout. Here in Mexico, they found over 50,000 of these little figurines in tombs. How did they know? Well, nobody saw dinosaurs. Really? How would you draw things that we have now come to realize are accurate? What about the great sailing ships? Before there was motors, they were very quiet. And we have got numerous, numerous sightings of creatures that we cannot explain. Stuff that has washed up. I'm running out of time. There's stuff that have washed up on our coast in the last 200 years that cannot be whales because their necks are too long. All this going on, is there dinosaurs in the Bible? Yes. In the book of Job, Job has been hurt. Job has been taken to task, and he's crying out to God saying, why? So God answers him and said, hey, were you here? Why are you questioning me? Were you here when I laid the foundation of the world? Have you entered into the springs of the sea? We found out they're actually hot water springs at the bottom of the sea when we got submersibles that go far enough. Isn't that interesting? Job is the oldest book of the Bible. He said, behold now, God says, I want you to go outside and I want you to look at Behemoth, which I made with thee, day 6, and he eats grass as an ox, because it's a big land animal. Behold it now, I made him with you, right? His strength is in his loins, and the force is in the navel of his belly. So this is a land animal that eats grass and's got a big belly. Elephants have big bellies. Hippos have big bellies. Dinosaurs have big bellies. He's got a big belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. So this is a land animal that eats grass, that's massive, and it's got a long tail. That's not a cedar tree. That's not a cedar tree. If you have footnotes in your Bible that say it must have been an elephant or a hippo, remember the footnotes are man-made, not God-inspired. His bones, he goes on to say, this animal has bones like strong pieces of brass and bones like bars of iron. Here's the pinky toe of a brontosaurus or a brachiosaurus. That's the pinky toe. National Geographic had a picture. You know, have you ever gone to the Smithsonian and walked underneath that gigantic skeleton? This is a massive animal with big bones. Here's a kid taking a bath in a dinosaur footprint in Glen Rose, Texas. These animals were massive. God said, Job, I want you to go outside and I want you to look at that thing. I want you to see that land animal that eats grass and has a tail like a cedar tree. They say it was like 100 tons. If you ever ran into one of these animals, you would be very impressed, especially if you got under their feet. This is what God said about him. This animal is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword approach unto him. I can touch him. I can go up to him, but you can't. He lieth under the shady trees and the coverts of the reeds and the fens. That's the swamp. It lives in the swamp and it eats grass. It's got a big belly, bones the size of bars of iron, and a tail like a cedar tree. This is all in the book of Job. What's he talking about? You realize the swamp in the Congo is 55,000 square miles. That only 80% of it's still unexplored. A missionary took a picture of a long-necked dinosaur into the pygmy village in the Congo and showed them the picture, and they went, oh yeah, Maliki Membe. We've seen him. He's vicious. Stay away from him. Yeah, my father killed one. It's not about when did they go extinct. The question is, did they? Because the Bible says, and God created great whales and every living creature. That means they were alive. He is the chief of the ways of God, this animal. And then he goes on and he talks about the water dinosaur. He says, why don't you go down to the river and look at Leviathan? Are you going to play with him like a bird? Are you going to put your spears in his head? Are you going to bore his jaw through with a thorn and actually pull him out? Do you think you can tame him? Are you going to speak soft words to him? What's he talking about? He's talking about a gigantic animal with rows of teeth. You going to play with him as a bird? Do you think you can get him in the boat? You honestly think you can get him in your boat? You going to fill his head with irons and his head with fish spears? You're going to lose your stuff just looking at him. Now, I'm out of time. But God said, I want to show you a couple of animals that explain how big and powerful I am. Job, I want you to go out and look at him. See, about 6,000 years ago, God created the heavens and the earth. And 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. 1,007 years from now, there's going to be a judgment where God is going to hold everyone to task. He gave us his word. He brought it into our language, and he made it to where it's really free. You can get a free copy online or at this church. But if you walk into a classroom of five-year-olds, first graders, and you look, they've been read this book, and you pick up a dinosaur and you hold it in front of them and you say, when did dinosaurs live? What are they going to say? Millions and millions of years ago. These are kids that can barely read, but that's a first grade book. After being in public school for that long and being told they're just animals, and why are we shocked by the way people act? Do you understand that to a lost person who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, you and I are the problem? We are the polluters of the environment, and we need to lower the population. You know what I say to Bill Gates? Man, I agree. You first. right? You first. If you you know what I'm saying? You're fine if I die. See, that's the problem with evolutionary thinking, that an elite is the only one smart enough to understand it, so just let us tell you what to think and it'll be fine. That's evolutionary thinking. They're being taught this down the street. That's why you need to vote this month with the school board meeting, for school board. If you don't vote, you're not doing your civic duty, and the Bible tells us we're supposed to be active in our civic work. Now, you don't need to go down there and scream and holler and throw things. You don't need to go down there and break things. That's not what we as Christians are supposed to do. But if you don't vote, then don't be shocked. This summer, hundreds of thousands of children will walk through the Smithsonian and other museums across the world, and they'll be shown these big, gigantic dinosaurs. And the devil has always used them to start conversations with children. And if we don't tell them the truth, then there's no reason. I mean, we can't expect them to believe anything else. So dinosaurs are mentioned in the Bible as dragons. I think they're still alive. Here's something that was pulled up. It was 4,000 pounds and 32 feet long in 1977. It was put on a fishing troller. The guy on board made a sketch of what it looked like. New Zealand went ahead and the country went ahead and made a stamp based on what the man sketched. It just goes on and on. So let me ask you a question. We're still seeing these animals with 20-foot necks wash up on the shore. We ask ourselves, what is that? It's not what does the Bible say. The question is, do you believe what it says? We believe it when it says that there is a place of the fullness of joy with streets of gold where nobody cries, where nobody dies, where nobody gets old. We love that part of the Bible. But what about the parts of the Bible that say, no, God made it? God owns it. And if God wants to, he'll wreck it. And one day soon, he's going to return. This is from Nessie back in 1987. I remember this. The camera on the submersible with motion sensors took these pictures. Isn't that interesting? But let me ask you a question. What do you believe? Do you believe that God is who he says he is? Do you believe that God did make this world? Do you believe? What do you believe? See, you and I are going to be held accountable for what this book says. And the first step is recognizing that Jesus died on a cross for our sin. Amen. Recognizing that he loved you so much that you couldn't come to him, so he came to us. That you couldn't be good enough, so I'll send myself down and I will die for the creation I have created. Amen. Now, I'm offering you a free gift. Because sin has a cause. See, God made everything. He has rules, and we broke them, and we're all been caught. And there's a penalty for the sin we've done. Now, we can either pay for our sins for eternity in hell, separated from God, or we can accept the substitute God gave for us. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we are thankful, God, for all that you've done in our life. We are thankful, God, that we can call upon you and believe. We're thankful, Father, that your word is true from the beginning and has been proven time and time again to be true. Whether it's archaeology or anything, it's been proven true. And Father, today I pray that with a newfound understanding that we as your people would embrace it and live it and call it what it is, call it truth. And Father, it's our desire to be your people and usable. Help us, Father, to communicate the truth of your word to other people. Every one of us has somebody in our life who thinks this is a bunch of fairy tales. Father, there's somebody that we work with, somebody we go to school with, and we believe the world is all fairy tales and real science is evolution. Help us, Father, to tell the to tell our story, to tell the truth of your creation. Help us, God, to be the ones who have put you first in our life and are ready to give an answer to those who are despairing, who see no hope because the world is just an accident and they're just an animal. Father, help us to be that spokesperson for you. And Father, if there's one among us today that doesn't know you as Savior, give them the courage to call upon you and be saved, to step out and come forward and receive you as their Savior today in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Meeks begins to play and sing, the altar is open. So what's it going to be? Either God is or God isn't. Either God did or he didn't. Either you're a special creation with a purpose or you're an accident and no more than an animal. What's it going to be?
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all.
Whatever burden you're carrying, let me pray with
to
you.
Him
let's
I
seek the Lord.
Owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Some have come. Won't you come? The invitation is still open. You need to make a decision for the Lord today in your life. Now's the time.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength.
You can release that burden and that weight.
Small,
you can do it right here at the altar today.
Of weakness,
that's why this church is here. To receive everyone who has a burden. Do you know the Lord this morning? If you don't, please come. We'll pray with you. You can find that peace today.
Jesus paid it all. All to him
sin has left a crimson stain on our lives. Only Christ can wash it away. Won't you come this morning? Tarry for those just for a few more moments.
Indeed, I find thy power and thy
He has the power and He has the strength. All we have to do is make that first step towards Him. Paid it all for you and for me. Let's all sing. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
In Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. Sing it with me.
My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
Our Father and our God, thank You for the healing and help that You offer us. Father, help us to recognize the attack we get from the devil and how it's not from You, it's from him, and it's all lies, Father, for we've been forgiven. There's no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus. And today, Father, we know we are the object of Your love. Let us go from this place with the comfort and knowing that we are Your child. And Father, for those that have yet to make that decision, give them time and convince them of their need. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You. You may look this way.